Welcome to It's a Pro Man, a knitting podcast about a guy with yarn issues living in the Boston area. If you're new to the show, welcome. I don't know how you found me, but now you're here. If you want to find out more about this podcast, please check out the website at www.itsaprolman.com, itsaprolman.com. Today is May 25th, 2006. It's Thursday, and for my regular listeners, yes, this is actually recorded before the last episode, so you're not losing your mind. The weather here in Boston is beautiful. Oh, we had such a great day. It was really pretty out today. If you would like to leave a comment or a review, feel free to drop by the site and let me know what you think about the show, or you can also review the show at iTunes or Podcast Alley. Today's show is going to be a bit different than normal. I'm not going to have a bunch of random music. It's all going to be very focused and very much like Terry Gross on Fresh Air. And I'm really excited. It's really an honor. Ren Ross is joining me today in the studio. And so let's get on with the show then.
Let me measure you sometime. I'll work out your gauge. Let's cast on, baby. Knit together. I'll keep you in stitches. Bye bye, black sheep. Knitting's what I love. You look like you could use a mitten or a glove. Bye bye, black sheep. Have you any wool? Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. 300,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
Stop needling me, baby. You want someone to watch over your sheep? I'll be your little Bo Peep. Ooh, you got me tied up in knots.
Well, I have here in the studio, I have here Ren Ross, and that was actually a song off her album, Ren Ross's Greatest Knits, and that was Baa Baa Black Sheep.
Only a crazy knitter would come up with a song like that.
It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoyed it the first time I heard it, and every time I hear it, actually.
Oh, it's fun. Well, you know, I love to knit, and I love to sing, and so when I'm knitting, you know, that open space that goes in your head sometimes, new thoughts come in, and all of a sudden, like, little tunes will happen, and then I would just have to like go to a piece of paper or, you know, a napkin or something and just jot, or my hand, and
just
write down the lyrics.
Fair enough. So Ren, let me just do a little introduction here.
Oh, sure.
Ren is a very talented and welcomed guest here in the studio, or my house. And she's a large part of the Boston community. She's written some books, or a book. I'm not sure. Have you written more than one? I was wondering about today.
I wrote one book, and then I was included in two editions of Knitlit.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and, you know, some of my writing has been in other magazines as well.
So she's an author, a singer, and a cabaret performer.
Yep.
And she also has a real job doing some voiceover work, I
That's
believe?
What I do, yeah.
Excellent. And she is a fantastic...
But I've never seen a windscreen like this. This is a gorgeous black and white Fair Isle hat.
Thank you.
It's the best windscreen I've ever seen. My peas will never pop here.
Probably not. Ren recently performed her program of All Greatest Knits at a book signing, and... you've been doing a lot of book tour right
yeah,
now.
We've been going around talking about our book. It's called Changing Patterns, mm-hmm. Discovering the Fabric of Your Creativity. And it's really an investigation of the creative process. Diana, the co-author, Diana Giardella, and I mm-hmm. really have all of our life felt that the creative process was a very important part of mm-hmm. our lives. And, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I mean, creativity got me through childhood and got me through adolescence and got me through adulthood. And I think of, you know, creativity as being something that helps a person grow. I mean, the word to create actually means to grow.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to find out what you look like, you go look in a mirror, and if you want to find out what's happening inside, the doctor gets you an ultrasound or an x-ray. But if you want to find out what's going on in your spirit, do something creative, because it's like a snapshot of your spirit, of your soul, and just gives you a mirror of, like, what are you thinking about? Who are you? What matters?
So have you always been encouraged to be creative? I mean, is this
no.
something that started from very early age?
No, not by my parents. I discovered it myself.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, I just, there was ways in which I would knit little swatches for my Barbie doll, you know, and mm-hmm. then make clothes, and then my Barbie doll, of course, would have to have conversations with the Ken doll, so then that created my theater background, and, you know, it just went on from there.
So you've been knitting since a very young age, then?
I can't remember. I think I was a Girl Scout, because there was, you know, one of those little badges with the needles and that's sewn on. I've always loved to knit. Oh. I just always loved to knit.
So what's your current knitting project of choice?
Oh, my gosh. I think I have 15 things on the needle. It's terrible.
Wow.
But one of the favorite things that I do, that I love to do, is I make these big coats. They're floor-length coats, mm-hmm. and they're called Stories of Fiber. And they basically use symbols and colors to tell a story of what's going on. I started it in 1991. I had just gone through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And it was the end of the year. It was actually December 31st, 1991.
Wow, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was New Year's Eve. You never forget New Year's Eve, right? And so what do you do? Well, you know, some people go to the bars, but I went to a yarn warehouse, and I bought a massive amount of yarn. Beautiful mohair. It was like blues and teals and greens and roses and greens. And I, it was like shopping, like garbage bags. I looked like Santa Claus. And when I came home, you know, there it was. It was New Year's Eve. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I decided to make a coat that told the story of what I was going through. So I put symbols in. I might put, you know, boxes, because I thought, like, I was trying to break out of sort of square ways of thinking.
Right.
And at first they were very, very symbolic in a very general way. But then they started to get more and more specific. So I got to the sleeve, and by the time I got to the sleeve, I was feeling pretty euphoric for being single.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to make these two tap dancers with hats and canes. Okay, because I was like happy. So I got up to the hat part,
uh-huh.
and I looked down at it, and I looked, oh my God, I put too many stitches in for the feet, so the guys look like they had club feet. And I, you know, I wanted to take it out, but mohair is not always, like, so cooperative.
Right.
So I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do with this? And, like, I went away, and then I looked back at it, and about an hour later, and I said, oh, my God, you know what? This is the accurate picture of my life. I am dancing, but it's a clumsy dance. It's a new dance, and it is like I'm dancing with, you know, deformed feet. So then I thought, wow, this whole process teaches you a lot about yourself.
Right.
So that's what I love to do. I use sometimes 30, 40 colors.
Wow.
And it's so fun to come up with the symbols. Sometimes they're totally unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's very predictable symbols. But I've decided that every coat is going to have a question mark in it. Because, you know, life is always full of questions. So
right.
I've been teaching workshops where I help people to make their own stories of fiber coat. And
right.
I'll be doing one June 15th in Watertown, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
And I've been working with cancer survivors so that they can make these coats too, or afghans, or whatever you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But they're ways of leaving a legacy.
Right.
You know, the word text comes from the word textile. It's the weaving of words.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's neat. And, you know, we call a yarn a story and a story a yarn. So
right.
there's a way that if you're using fiber, you can tell a story. And then, you know, you make this with your own hands. So the story of what's going on in your life is going right into the fabric itself. And then when you wear it, people will ask, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? And then you're telling another story. So
right.
there's something.
So when you work with cancer patients, and I only ask this actually because I have two aunts who both have recently dealt with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
One is still dealing with cancer. It's in, not in remission anymore, which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
But when they come to it, I kind of wonder, you know, is it something that's sort of cathartic by working
yeah.
these stories, or do they come to it with anger or frustration? I mean, how do...
Well, you know, whatever.
How have you seen?
They come with everything,
yeah.
just like any human being. We're all facing, you know, our mortality in one
right.
way or another. If you've got a cancer diagnosis, you know, they say, oh, you're terminal, but we're all terminal, you know, and life is to be lived every moment. And I think that the cancer survivors come with, you know, every color of emotion, and making the coats is a way of being able to, you know, get it out of their bodies and into their hands and into the fabric. And so that they have a record of it in some ways.
Right.
It's all acceptable to the fabric, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about it being acceptable to the fabric. The fabric always fights back.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I've found in my knitting experience.
Yes. I've had a lot of fights with my yarn, yeah. We've gone in the ring together, and it usually wins is what
yeah.
happens.
I've actually done a whole show on goddamn projects, ones that just won't give up. And I had one. I had a lady on the show who had a sweater that she has been working on, and she's left it there for years because she just can't deal with it. And now it's been more than a decade.
Well, that's a toad, isn't it? A trashed object abandoned in disgust.
Yeah, exactly. But she's ready to go back and finish it up. I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know.
It's sometimes they lick you. You know, sometimes you got to know when, you know, it's had its way with you.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you need to leave it in a room and, you know, let it have a quiet moment.
So do you tend to work from patterns, or I mean,
both.
I've seen some of your work, and it all seems that it's obviously made as you go to some degree.
Well, those things are made as I go. The stories of fiber, that's the fun part of it.
Okay.
I mean, I know eventually that I have arms, so I have to go, you know, I have to get up as far as my arms, and then I have to do the whole armhole thing.
Yeah.
And then I know I have to go, and then I have a neck, and so I have to sort of accommodate that, and then sleeves. But I do, you know, I create patterns for some yarn companies. I do some designs for Himalaya Yarn Company, who does that magnificent recycled sari silk.
Oh, wow.
I love working with that yarn. And Skasel, and I've also mm-hmm. done some for JCA for Artful Yarns and for Classic Elite. And then I have to be, you know, very mindful of really being exact and careful.
Right.
But I also like to follow patterns because then I learn something. I'm actually following a pattern, a Kim Hargreaves pattern right now, and I find it's really a great way to keep stretching your mind to be able to learn how to, you know, follow rules.
Yeah, I'm still very much a beginner knitter. I've been doing this for about a year, so for me, I keep following patterns in the hopes that I'll learn something new. So every time I put like
right.
a new tool in my pocket, basically. And that's how I see it. Because so even though I hate double points, if the pattern calls for double points, I do it just because I know by the end of that project, I'll hate double points maybe a little less.
I know. You could grit your teeth a little less. I know. And then there are certain things that do you find that you learn them, but then you have to keep relearning them? Like, I feel like I'm, you know, challenged in that way, like short rows.
Yeah.
I tell you how many times I've learned how to short row, and every time I come to a short row, I'm like, huh, what? You know, and I start breaking out in a sweat, and maybe I better write a song about it, you know?
Well, I find myself still struggling with the double points. It's really, you know, those, I refer to them as I have a firefighter issue. All these ladders keep popping up in my socks, and it's driving me crazy.
Somebody said to make the first stitch like a little tighter, just to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, Knitting Without Tears, that's what she recommends.
Oh, yes.
And I love reading her books.
Yeah,
her books are really fantastic.
She's amazing. Would you ever try the two circs?
The two circs? Not yet. That'll come eventually.
Okay.
But again, this is one tool that I'm not willing to put down yet.
One thing at a time.
I need to, you know, reach that point where I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Right.
And then life goes on, you know? So can you tell me, I want to play the song that you had brought with you here today.
Okay.
It's one that isn't on your album, but it's something that
it's going to be in a new album. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Will you tell me a little bit about it while I'll go over here and just get it set up?
Sure. Well, I don't want to give away too much about it, but it is basically a song about mistakes, because every knitter knows, as you knit, so shall you rip. And so this song is an ode to making mistakes and to dealing with mistakes. And the accompaniment is done by John Curtis, who used to be a lead guitarist in the Poussette Dart Band. Anybody from the 60s and 70s would, I think the 70s actually, would know that. Real cool guy. And here it is.
Great.
I've been working on this sweater, the one that's meant for you. I remember when I cast on, it was 1982. Can't you see the padded shoulders? How about those sparkly yarns? I'm determined that I'll bind off before I buy the farm. Knit one, purl one, ooh, now what did I do? I think I dropped a stitch or two. Oh dear, the gauge is tight. Why can't I get it right? I think I'll have to call for help. Why am I making this sweater? Why am I knitting at all? Why did I take up this hobby? I think I need a mind overhaul. Okay, it's one stitch at a time. Breathe and just let it go. Learn to accept your mistakes. Whatever. And knitting will help you grow.
So tell me a little bit about the music. Because I have to say, you know, it's not every day you run into a knitting song.
No, I told you, I have to be totally certifiably insane to do this. I love to sing. I sing a wide variety of songs. I sing, you know, from classical music to pop music to world music. I sing songs in a lot of languages. Mm-hmm. But I particularly love my knitting songs because, you know, they speak of my life. I think that, you know, I think what's really emerging in knitting now is knitting culture.
Yeah.
You know, with all the books and with the podcasts and knitting groups, I think that, you know, there's a way that we live and there's a lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely find that a lot in the What's her books? The Yarn Harlot.
Sure. I mean,
she started off with a blog, and then she had a couple books out there, and people love it just because...
Yeah, it connects.
They connect, exactly.
Right.
And I've actually connected with those books, too, and I've heard her speak when she was in town the last time, and I was like, wow, she's awesome.
Great. Yeah, she is. She's really great. And so I have a cabaret, actually, called Singing with Every Fiber.
Oh.
So I sing these yarn songs, and I talk, you know, about the whole experience, like, you know, learning to deal with your mistakes, which, course, is, you know... preeminent for knitters, and I think that's one of our strengths, is learning how to deal with our mistakes.
Right.
We know, you know, we are going to make mistakes. I heard somebody say something great the other day. Jane Sibley, she was a member of the Greater Boston Knitting Guild, and she said there are three stitches in knitting: knit, purl, and rip.
exactly. And, you know, I mean, everybody's dropped a stitch.
You always, absolutely.
Even once you've gotten good at it. I mean, I was just working on a simple garter stitch scarf for my mother for Mother's Day. And I'm sure if you look in there, you'll find some things just, well, they're not perfect. But, again, I know the dead bodies are hidden. Everybody else thinks it's nice. Great, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, but those are the marks of your... I say in the book, Changing Patterns, because the second part of the book, I talk about knitting as a metaphor for life. And, you know, I invite people to look at the creative process through the eyes of a knitter, because knitting is just, you know, has so many life lessons in it.
Right.
But, you know, knitting, when you make a mistake, I think mistakes are monuments to our humanity. Because it's like saying, okay, I'm not perfect, and here it is.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I've seen some people's work where it is perfect, and I have no idea how they've got that.
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, we'll have to kill them and, you know, leave their bodies by the side of the road.
Exactly. I just hope they had to rip back a couple of times. You know,
Maybe they did.
That's my theory.
They did.
They ripped back, like, millions of times.
Right.
And that's really the secret. It's not that they're perfect. They've just ripped it back, and nobody will ever know.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I have a chapter in the book called Tinking, Frogging, Toads, and Princes. Because, you know, we have this whole way of dealing with mistakes.
You know, that's one thing that I really, you know, so I'm, again, new to the knitting community. This is still very much new to me. Would you mind explaining to those who maybe even never heard those terms? And I love these terms so much. And
I do, too.
It was actually one of the first groups I went to at Mind's Eye with Lucy that she... Somebody just gave me the rundown on the terms and what they meant, and they cracked me up.
And there are new terms coming up every moment. In fact, as we're talking, somebody is coming up with a moment right now. You know, they're coming up. They're cursing into the wind,
right?
Because they're looking down at their knitting and they're saying, "How the heck did 12 stitches get there extra?" You know,
right? So when there's a new term for, you know, losing your gauge as you listen to a bad podcast,
there you go, or a good podcast,
exactly.
Because you got so involved. But tinking. The word tink is when you take out the knitting, like let's say you're working on a lace project and you've made a mistake, there's a hole, but it's only like maybe five or six stitches, or maybe it's two rows, you know, where below from where you are.
Right.
And you can't just take the needles out and do that experience. You have to go slowly, one stitch at a time.
Right.
So tink is knit spelled backwards.
Right, which I think is so clever.
It is clever. And, you know, one thing that I thought about is that it reminds me of, like, when I've been in therapy, you have to go, like, one thing, one, you know, lie in your head at a time to try to figure out, like, well, how did I get to that, you know, stupid idea? Or how did I come to that? And, like, you know, where did that come in my life? And you have to go very slowly and laboriously sometimes. So I think that that's really cool. Because sometimes you have to tinker with your belief system. So there, that's tinking, slowly, one stitch at a time. Frogging.
Yes, and I love frogging.
Frogging is when you've made a huge mistake. Or you hate something. It's the wrong color. It's the wrong size. It's just bad. And so you take out the needles, mm-hmm. and you rip it, like the sound of a frog.
Which I've recently done on my purple monkey, which is a project that's, you know, it's I keep referring to it as the monkey on my back, because it literally is a monkey that I just can't.
And
I had multiple pieces, and then I tried sewing them together, and then Lucy looked at it, and she's just like, Guido, your gauge is different in all three pieces. You have to start over.
Oh. Ow. You know, so, do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Exactly. By saying I love ripping, it means I like frogging. It means I do frogging a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's not love that I have for
it's
it.
It's familiarity.
Exactly.
Well, you know that the Mayans saw the symbols of frogs as purification. Mm-hmm. So when you rip out like that, you are really like purifying yourself because you're saying, I don't have to live with that mistake. I can do better than that. I want to move on from that.
Yeah.
You know, one time we put in a new kitchen floor. And, you know, looking at the tiles in the store is one thing. But then putting it on the floor, it was like so wrong. Mm-hmm. So wrong. And I wish that we could frog it, you know. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
But we can't right now.
Okay, so we have tinking and frogging.
Let's toads. We've already mentioned toads.
Right, so we've discussed
trashed
toads.
Objects, abandoned in disgust. You know, how many do you have in your closet?
Exactly. Let's not count.
And princes, I made up. I can take credit for princes. Princes are when you take a toad and you frog it, mm-hmm. you get a prince because it's a project resurrected into a new creative endeavor.
That's excellent.
Thank you. So you know, you make the yarn available to become something else.
Exactly. You've kissed your toad and
exactly.
there you have it.
Exactly. So there it is.
Oh, that's excellent.
Knitting lessons of life.
Definitely. So what other, you know, we should take a moment here and just let listeners know where they can find your CD and,
okay.
and find your book as well, because I'll have links on the show
okay.
for them to listen to, but if there are places that you recommend, I mean, I always try to recommend finding your local yarn shop and seeing if they have it first.
Some local yarn stores have my CD, but mostly you would get my CD, by visiting my website, which is www.renross.com. Mm-hmm. And you can buy my CD there. Also, I think the Wool Connection catalog will be carrying my CD as well.
Okay.
So great. That's one way. And then, you know, visit my website and, you know, check out the Stories of Fiber mm-hmm. Coats and also my classes called Your Creative Fiber mm-hmm. and my cabaret show called Singing with Every Fiber. Everything's about fiber. And then also email me and say hi.
Great. So you've traveled around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At least it seems that you travel around a lot. And do you find it interesting going into the different yarn shops? I mean, like, I
oh
absolutely
gosh.
Love going to a new yarn store.
Oh, I love going to yarn stores. Just make me so excited. I think of them as being their havens of, you know, beauty and comfort. And like in the old days, they had the town plaza. Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's like a yarn store is the plaza. You know, it's where you go and to be seen and to see and be seen. It's like, you right. know, and to show and look at this sweater. And
I think it was sort of like almost a secret society, though.
Oh, it is.
Admittedly, pre-knitting, you know, I never even knew they existed. I never noticed them. They were never really in you know, out of mind, out of sight kind of thing.
Right.
Or out of sight, out of mind. And suddenly, like, now wherever I go, I can't help but wonder, okay, where's the nearest yarn shop?
Oh, absolutely. You have to find your fix. Because it's always, you know, they always have something new and different. I remember going to Sicily and going to a yarn store there, and there was like, I swear, I don't think they had any electric lights in there. It was just completely dark, you know. And there was that woman wearing all black with her rolled down, you know, stockings that, you know. But the yarn that I got there was my favorite yarn. It was so wonderful.
Oh, what kind was it?
It was called Gato yarn, and it was like this variegated black and colors and just beautiful.
You're kidding. Gato?
Gato, oh,
hold
cat.
Hold on one second. Yeah. So you can describe what I'm doing here.
Okay. He is, Guido is taking off his headphones and running to the other side of the room. He is grabbing a box, and he is running back here, and he's got a box of yarn that says Tabby Lana Gato, and it's that yarn.
Yeah, well,
but it's not that yarn, but it's that company.
My pumpkin, mother just came back from Italy, and this is what she brought me back.
She's a nice person.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
So I'm pretty excited. I mean, obviously.
Wow. I like this turquoise with the little sparklies. This is cool. This will be a lace. a lace event. Won't this be a lace event?
If somebody in this house did lace, yes, it would be a lace event.
Well, that's going to be the next thing after the double points. Look at this.
And I'm sure there's got to be a name for this as well. But until then, it'll be hiding out in the stash waiting for a lace event.
Right. Well, speaking of stash, I'm trying to write a song about stash.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I need help.
So before we get... How do you start these? They just come to you in the middle of doing things.
They do. They come to me in the middle of doing things. Well, you know, I think that most of our best ideas come when we have like an empty mind.
Okay.
Do you ever notice that? I mean, I think that's why ideas come to you in the shower or when you're driving to work or when you're taking a walk. Like when you're really trying hard to think of something,
right,
nothing comes. But when you have an empty mind... Then
it's all lifted.
It is. Excellent. It is. I mean, there's a Zen saying called beginner mind. And Suzuki, the guy who created beginner mind, said, in the beginner's mind, there are all possibilities. In the expert's, there are few. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you have that open mind, good ideas come in. But okay. It usually comes out of need. Like, you know, I had to write a song about being addicted to yarn. You know, so that's when Baba Black Sheep came out. And then dealing with mistakes, well, of course, you know, I had to write a song about that. But, you know, this whole concept of stash. One time I sang at a knitting guild, and I said to the woman, well, how many bins of yarn do you have? And she said, rooms? And I said, bins. And she said, rooms? And then finally, I got it. You know, I really got it. And, you know, I went up to visit my yarn this morning in the attic, and, you know, I have... at least 10 big Walmart size bins of yarn, you know?
Right, right.
And so I wanted to write a song about somebody who, you know, hides their stash and, you know, tries to, you know, not let people know how much stash they have.
So just out of curiosity, do you also try to hide your stash? I mean, 10 bins is a lot of stash to
hide. Well, I do and I don't. And more like I try, I mean, you know, because my partner doesn't have a problem with it, but mm-hmm. It's more hiding it from me. It's, you know, it's just, it's a lot.
I find myself actually trying to keep my stash out and about to remind me how much I have in case I think I need more.
Well, you see, then there are two types of knitters. You know, one in denial and one that wants to, you know, put it out.
It doesn't actually work, you know.
I know.
It's just the theory I was working on.
Right. But I wanted the song originally to be, like, operatic, you know, mm-hmm. like... Please put my yarn in this Walmart bag. My mate will kill me for buying more yarn. But then it just sort of ended there. But now I've come up with a title. I want to create a song to the tune of Beautiful Dreamer. So it'll be Beautiful Schemer.
Okay.
And I have the first couple lines. It'll be something like, Beautiful Schemer, short on her cash, finding excuses for buying more stash. And then, you know, stashes the yarn she hides in a bag so that her mate has no reason to nag. Beautiful schemer, rationalize. You only live once, and this yarn is a prize. And that's as far as I've gotten.
Ooh.
So, you know, whoever wants to finish it for me, maybe we
Great.
Can give them a CD or something.
Well, excellent. So this is we'll put more information on the on this idea or this competition, I guess it's going to be, and on the site. And would you like them to email you or to email me? It's however you'd like to do it.
Either way, email me.
Excellent. Then if you have some ideas to help Ren out with her new song, go ahead and send her an email. And let's say in about a month we'll do a show where Ren sings the final version.
The final
song.
Version. Yes, any ideas are helpful. You know, set to Beautiful Dreamer.
Definitely, and I'll put more of that information in the post on with the show. And with that, let's go into another song we have here.
Cool.
I think I've queued one up. Let's see how this works.
Attention, knitters, yarn in hand, needles ready, cast on. 76 stitches on a number 10, Knit in the round, just plain stockinette. Don't forget to mark the beginning of the row, or you'll lose your place before you know. 76 stitches and some bulky yarn. Knit for about 5 inches or so. Do a row of purls so the edge will make a curl, and then change your color every row. Go ahead and use your stash and have some fun with this. Blue and pink, rose and green, purple and some gold. You'll be amazed how marvelous the stripes can be. And you will see that you can be quite bold. Knit 5 more inches, change your color every round. Ooh and ah, wow and neat is what they all will say. Now's the time to shape the top and make the crown. You just decrease every 9, do a row straight away. 76 stitches now are 68. You can decrease every 7 next row. Do a straight row between and repeat 6, 5, 4, 3, then every 2. You're almost set to go. Finally, every 1 and 2 together. Then take the yarn and weave it all through. Your hat's complete. Go and get something to eat. As for me, I'm gonna knit 1, 2.
Oh, this is gonna be fun, making hats. I love to make hats. They're so easy. Oh, where are my circular needles? Oh, I thought I put them back in the bag. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, they're under the bed. Oh, how did they get under the bed? Where's that blue? I wanted to use that new blue. I love that blue. I thought I put it here in the bag. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where is it? Oh, oh, no. Not the cat. Oh, 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 Fluffy, bring back that blue. Oh, oh, Fluffy, please. It's the only blue they had left in the yarn store. It's the only blue of that dye lot. Oh, oh, no, Fluffy. Oh, oh, no, no, not the bathroom. Oh, no, no, not the toilet. Oh, Fluffy. Oh, no, the blue is all wet. Oh, how long is it going to take to dry? Oh, no. I hate making hats. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. It's so relaxing to knit.
Oh, there we go. We're back. Excellent. So that song is in Interweave Knits. It's an actual pattern.
It is. If you follow that pattern, that song, you can make a hat.
That's so fantastic.
I think it's the first hat ever that was sung about. I mean, that you could hat pattern.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that I thought about, I don't know if you're into physics, but, you know, when they came out with string theory,
mm-hmm.
the whole theory that every particle is made out of vibrating string.
Right.
So if that's the case, then the whole world is this huge singing Afghan. It's huge.
You take a ball of yarn to new bounds, I swear.
Why not?
Excellent.
Or not. Of course, knitting is not.
Not. Exactly. That too. Definitely. So you you also make patterns here, and you have a couple of them with you.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, so are there any that you really enjoy making more than others? I mean, I know that you make the stories, and those have a lot of deep meaning. But I have to say, those probably take a long time, and they can't, you know.
Well, they do and they don't. I mean, they take actually a shorter time than you think because you get so excited to see how they're going to come out.
Okay.
You know, as you're knitting them, you're like, oh my gosh, I want to put my cat in it. Oh, how's that going to look? Oh, what color am I going to do? And so you get excited, and then it turns out. But I love working with, like I told you, Himalaya Yarn Company.
Yeah.
Because that recycled sari silk is so fun. I have a cape. Here, I'll show you a picture of it. It's called the Cape of Constant Change.
Yeah.
Because that yarn, you know, I think is really cool. It's used the scraps from silk saris. They mm-hmm. they gather all the scraps from making the saris, and
right.
then they spin them, and then they make new yarn. So I think that there's something cool in the idea that they take what is cast off mm-hmm. spin it, and then make it so that you can cast on.
So how does that feel? It looks kind of fuzzy. I mean, is it very soft? I mean,
it is soft because I mix it with Classic Elite mohair, Le Grand mohair. So mm-hmm. I use two different colors. One's called infrared, and the other's called azure blue. And right. as you know, the sari silk is really vibrant colors.
Right.
So you can use almost any colors with it, actually.
Excellent.
And mix it. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even imagine, like, so I'm a beginner knitter.
You got to start somewhere.
I never try to pretend to be anything else. So,
yeah.
But I can't even imagine what it's like when you get to the point where you start producing patterns and just coming up with these ideas. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm somewhat creative, but at the same time, I can barely do two colors. I mean, so for my listeners out there, I actually cover my microphones with these little hats. And she had mentioned it before. I have a little Fair Isle hat sitting on top of one of the microphones. And, you know, I don't know how I got there. And there's there's a pattern that shows me how I got there, but it doesn't mean that I actually can go back without the pattern and just kind of
find
my way there
again. Is like a map. And that's what you do for a living is make maps. So this is a map of what you did.
Right.
This hat.
Right, but the map to and most knitting is a far more like strange world to me, especially when I start thinking about those other patterns, like not only fair knitting, Fair Isle knitting, but the lace knitting, and then stitch
intarsia,
overs? Not stitch overs. What are they called?
Yarn overs?
Slip stitch.
Oh, the slip stitch stuff.
And I've seen some pretty incredible stuff, and I look at it like in when it's done, and I'm just like, wow, I don't know how you get there.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, your 2 feet take you maybe a couple of miles when you go on a walk. 1 foot goes after the other foot.
Right.
Knit, purl, rip. You know, knit, purl.
Can I ask you when you got to the point where you were making sweaters? If you've been knitting a very long time, do you remember back when you completed your first sweater?
I remember my first sweater. It was like Colors of the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it out myself. I just, I had all this extra yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started making stripes. And then I got up to, you know, where the armholes would be. And I had no idea what to do. But I thought, well, wait a minute. What if I just, like, cast on a whole mess of stitches? So I just, like, went straight out. Like, so I made a T.
Right.
And it remarkably came out.
Excellent.
You know?
So was this in the round then? Is that
no?
No, it was just
one piece and another piece, and I knit it together. I mean, I'm sure it came out horribly, but people did used to stop me and say, "Oh, that's really probably because it looked like a neon sign." You know, I mean, it was so colorful.
Did they use the word interesting?
Yeah. Yes, I think they might have, and I think I sold it regrettably at a yard sale. So, you know, for those people that talk about, like, decluttering and how good it is to get rid of things, well,
right.
I regret that. I regret that I sold that. And I mean, you know, and that just happens sometimes. You get rid of something and you say, I shouldn't have gotten rid of that.
Right. I mean, you still have the memories of it, apparently. So that's,
thank you.
that makes me feel better. You know.
It's true. But no, you just made me remember that.
But of course, you could always go back to it and be like, well, you know, I sold it off, and now somebody else is really enjoying it who doesn't know how much I painstakingly went through it, but they don't know how many things I've messed up on it either. You know?
That's true. Oh, because there'd be a lot of mistakes on it. But just imagine if anybody's listening, if anybody has ever seen like a T-shaped, striped, colored, you know, sweater,
mm-hmm.
find me and I'll buy it back. it's maybe it's out there.
Yeah, it's possible.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. So who taught you or where did you – so you've been doing it a long time.
I can't remember. I can't imagine that my mother taught me how to knit. I can't imagine that she'd be patient. I think I learned in the Girl Scouts.
Then who are your heroes then, I guess is my question when it comes to knitting. Like we all have, you know
– Oh, knitting heroes?
Knitting heroes, yeah.
Elizabeth Zimmerman, of course.
I love her so much.
Gosh, I mean, you know, there's so many designers that I think are, Kay Fassett.
Right.
Kay Fassett, you know, in his work with color, he's just a genius. And I believe he took, you know, knitting to a whole nother level and just brought us up in, you know, many, many notches. All the people that knit for Rowan, I think, are just quite brilliant.
I've only recently been turned on to Rowan and their books, and I love their rustic
exquisite.
Sort of feel to it. And it's...
Their photography is so beautiful. I love Pam Allen, mm-hmm. You know, who is the editor of Interweave Knits. I think that she's very inspired, and she puts together the magazine in a beautiful way, and she has a really beautiful way of thinking about knitting. Kristen Nicholas is an exquisite knitter, very inspired designer.
So have you ever thought about men's garments? And this is my shtick.
Okay, here you go.
I come from a long line of men who are complaining because there's not enough men's sweaters. Like, I've seen some books, and while they do attempt to make some interesting sweaters, there's a very common theme through most of them. And I'm just wondering if you had ever thought about how men's sweaters, if there was a men's sweater that you liked a lot. That's really, you know, because for me, I have a really hard time finding a project that I want to work on, because either it's way too simple and just kind of a straight basic sweater with one of three mud colors, either khaki, gray, or black.
And that's not what you want.
No. So I don't know. To be honest, I've been looking, and I've been trying to figure out what it is I want. But at the same time, I keep asking people if they have sweaters, men's sweaters that they've seen in the past that really inspire them. And I know Kay Fassett does, and I've only recently been introduced. And this is part of the reason I love talking to other people about who inspires them, because it makes me have to go out and find them.
Yeah.
Find them as well and keep searching.
I would definitely, and if you can take a workshop, you know, with him or Brandon Mabley, they both teach color workshops.
Who's Brandon Mabley?
He works with CAFE, and he is a wonderful designer as well.
Fantastic.
Has beautiful designs. Some of his designs are, I think they're in the recent Vogue knitting.
Mm-hmm.
But what I suggest that you do is start visualizing the sweater that you want. And see, I think it would be really cool for you to take some of these maps that you work on and then create a design that that uses that.
Yeah.
And once you have the idea, well, then you have to engineer it. So then if you don't know how to do it, get help.
Right.
And it's just one step at a time. I mean, that's the creative process, is one step at a time. And you're going to go through all the different stages of it, but, you know, creative process is messy, and if you have a vision, you'll get there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the inspiration. I'll tell you that the one thing I am working on, not the sweater at the moment. I do have two sweaters on right now, but they're pretty basic, and one's for me and one's for my mother. But the one thing I am doing right now, which is kind of fun, is I'm actually taking a sewing class this summer through the Cambridge Adult Education.
Yeah.
So I can make myself a needle bag that doesn't have floral prints on it.
You poor guys. I know. I can imagine.
I mean, there are some interesting solutions out there. And actually, in the next episode, I'll be doing a recap of my first 10 episodes, because I'm pretty excited about getting to this 10th episode and surviving this long. And that's how I sort of started this podcast, is sort of the complaints about the lack of men stuff. In knitting. And, you know, to some degree, I understand why. There's definitely...
But it's changing, though, isn't it?
It's changing, and, you know, it changes more when people actually put into it. And that's...
Right.
So that's what I'm doing. I do complain about it, but at the same time, I realize that, you know, if I'm not going to be making something, then I should shut up.
Well, first of all, there are those clear plastic bags.
Right. For some reason, they don't appeal to me either.
Okay.
I'm very picky.
Picky is good. Picky, you've got to have what you want. Life is short. You might as well have your bag that you like.
Exactly, which is why I'm going to eventually end up sewing one.
So what pattern do you imagine that you're going to make it?
I imagine, you know, they have a lot of really nice knitting bags right now, but they just have floral patterns on them. If they were just made of, like, a backpack material, that would make me really happy.
Yeah.
And something that sort of rolled out and could really contain everything I normally carry with me. I mean, I have a pencil case at the moment, but, you know, things are all jiggly in there, and you have to kind of dig through.
Oh.
I just want something that just rolls out, reach for what I want, pull it right out.
And won't that be cool if you design it, and then, like, you can market it?
Yeah.
That'll be very cool.
Definitely. I mean, if I figure it out, I'm going to share it with everybody. I have no problem with, you know,
that
idea.
That's great.
Get it out there and see if other people want to do it. There are some companies out there who are starting to make knitting bags. There's a company out there called Tom Bin, who normally makes backpacks and computer bags, and they're going to be making a knitting bag. It's not exactly the same as an actual tool bag, but a knitting bag, and it's going to be much more like backpack material, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm really excited about seeing that. And there's one other company. So as you can tell, I've done the research.
I'm glad that they're catering to us, because, you know, we're taking over the world.
Yeah, exactly.
So
one stitch at a time.
Yeah.
Well, I think this about wraps it up, and I know that there's a spinning group you might want to go to tonight.
There is, indeed.
Definitely. And so I wanted to thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Oh, Guido, it's been a pleasure. I hate to see it end, so I have to, you know, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Definitely, definitely. And so before we go here, I just want to give a big thanks to Ren, the lovely, the talented, the dreamer. and who is so I had a quote for you, and I didn't, you know, I always have these like grand ideas of how to make the show run, and they never work out. So I'll just sort of add it to the end here, and we'll see if it still works for anybody. But I was just going to say, "All good things are wild and free" by Henry David Thoreau. Oh. And I think that definitely works very well with your vision of knitting, and that, you know, mistakes happen and then we learn. And so, wild and free. All good things are wild and free.
Oh, thank you, Guido. I'm going to take that with me.
Excellent.
Maybe that'll be another song.
There you go.
Wild and free knitting.
You know, if as long as you're talking about songs, you might want to try something more punk next time.
Okay.
I love punk music, or not so much punk. I mean, if you listen to my other episodes, you'll see they've all got a little more bite to them.
Like, I want to throw this against the wall. I want to throw this against the wall.
See, it's not too hard at all.
It's not too hard at all.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you again for being here. And this concludes the program. Thanks to my listeners. And thanks for listening.